Synthaholics, the Star Trek podcast.
Welcome to Synthaholics. This is Aaron O'Brien communicating to you through podcast format. And with me on the same format is David Duncan.
You may call me Sigmund Freud.
Sigmund?
I'm
what
back.
Does Sigmund Freud think about the anomaly?
I'll be back. There was definitely a semen metaphor when Archer's coffee cup just stayed there.
Mm-hmm. Is like his semen is just floating?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. David Duncan.
I see. We are talking about the second episode of the Zindi arc, or I guess this would be actually not second. This would be the third.
The third, but the second of season three.
Yeah, second season. So this is the episode Anomaly, and this is season three, episode two, and this is aired September 17th, 2003, and this is when they are going into the Expanse, where it's all fucking weird, man. There's a weird shit happening.
There's anomalies running through. We sort of get a little signal callback to the first episode. Instead of ping pong of the all the crates going back and forth, we get all the food stuck to the ceiling.
Yeah.
In the mess hall.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
And this episode stars Porthos.
Starring Porthos. So it starts off with Porthos is in Archer's ready room.
Demanding cheese.
Give me cheese now. So he starts barking and Archer's like, what? Just looks at him like, okay. And then he really starts getting worked up. And then one of the books falls off. So this is like Interstellar.
Yeah. Oh, man. Archer's talking to himself, tapping on the fourth dimensional space.
That's right.
With Michael Caine.
With Michael Caine. So so he's like, oh, that's kind of weird. Back in engineering.
Oh, did you name your dog Porthos?
No, we're still, in case anybody knows, we just got a puppy. So because it's black, we might call it Midnight, might be called Shadow. At one time, they wanted to call it Black Hole, which I thought was terrible. So I suggested Cygnus, like after the first black hole that was ever discovered, Cygnus X1.
Oh, that's cool. That's a good name.
It was a Cygnus. So like, what are you going to call him? Siggy?
Siggy. Porthos Poo.
Anyways, yeah, so the dog doesn't technically have a name yet. So, but it's only like the fourth or fifth day in.
A dog has no name.
Doesn't care. Doesn't answer, that's for sure. Anyways, in engineering, Trip is confused because the engines don't make sense anymore.
But I checked it three times, Trip!
And Dr. Phlox and Six Bay is animals are all acting like a bunch of lunatics. Just like
shaking the cages.
Just like before an earthquake. And then we see people at the mess hall and all the plates fly up in the air, but none of the people fly up in the air.
Yeah, that's weird.
Those are just string tricks to make salad fly through the air.
Yes, flying salad. And then the next time we see the anomaly, people do go flying. So this anomaly is very inconsistent.
Do you remember the commercial salad shooter?
Yeah. It's like a machine gun for salad.
That's what's going on in the mess hall.
Man, that's awesome.
So there was a salad shooter
shooting. Can you imagine Neelix double wielding salad shooters like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
It'd be great. I'll be back.
Sigmund Freud will be back.
And then in the corridor, a distortion is like going through the hallways, and we get this like weird effect they put in that looks like a rolling ball going through the corridors and knocks over a couple crewmen.
I love how it knocks the one guy back and it keeps going. I wanted to see him bounce up a second time, but he didn't.
Yeah, he should have been totally crushed by that thing. And then
Archer's coffee flies off the desk, and they get call him to the bridge. I really wanted a coffee to finish splashing him as he walked by it, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, it just sits there floating.
His coffee stays there like the entire episode. Spoilers, sorry.
Yeah, coffee flying in there. It's definitely gotten cold by that point. T'Pol calls him to the bridge, and he says that there's a bunch of anomalies going all over the ship, and the warp field is fluctuating, and this is when sparks start shooting out of the warp reactor, and Trip has to shut down the warp engines, and the Enterprise kind of just like goes down to a halt, so it comes out of warp, and they're running out of power.
He's like, the cock equation doesn't work in this kind of space.
Yeah, you said the laws of physics don't make sense anymore, so this is an issue.
But do the laws of Sigmund Freud still apply?
Even more so, Sigmund. What did you say about engines at arc energy?
Well, the energies that arc, they're just horny. They just need to get it out.
Gotcha. Uh-huh.
Yes.
So Malcolm says that only emergency power has been restored, but all the primary systems are offline, including weapons.
But Aaron, how do you feel?
I feel energized.
But they don't use the transporters in this show, right?
No, they just use... What does it mean when they don't use their transporters, Mr. Freud or Dr. Freud?
Oh, it means that they're scared of the mother and the feelings that they have for the mother.
Oh, for like breastfeeding?
Yes, kind of thing? Yes, that's very much like that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Travis says a ship is coming in, and Archer they see a ship.
It's derelict.
Archer goes to intercept it, so they slowly crawl over to do it in 1/4 impulse power. They get to the ship, and there's no bioscience on the ship. Archer gets a team with the Makos to get over onto the ship, and they take a shuttle pod to dock with it. Kind of cool. They have a little thing where the shuttle pod kind of like flips on its back. Maybe not the best effects, but for 2003, pretty good effects.
They were great for the time, but they definitely have aged a bit. You can tell. But I mean, like for its time, it was state of the art by far. Yeah. I love how they're crawling through the ship, and the Mako's like, he has no external injuries. He's wearing a bodysuit that covers all of his skin, except his face and his hands. When did he strip him? When did he have time to? Did he check? I don't think he checked.
You didn't look hard enough, did you?
He did not look.
Did you check under the balls?
Yeah. Was the penis ripped off? By a wild dog? Was the dog trained to bite the wiener? I mean, come on.
It could have happened. I know. When they get aboard this derelict ship, there's a there's dead aliens, and there's a couple I don't want to say phaser blast, but there looks like there's been particle weapons that have been discharged. And
they take really good care of the ship. They shoot the walls to make it look Star Wars-y.
And there's they go to the bridge, and there's just aliens floating around in the bridge because there's no gravity, of course. And they decide they're going to download all the information they can off the ship to see if they can make sense out of it. And meanwhile, Archer wants a report from Trip, and Trip says the Cochrane equation doesn't make sense anymore because in this anomaly, the laws of physics don't make sense anymore. So they'll have to write a whole new book on warp theory. And he says, and that took Cochrane a long time. So
a long time, mostly because did they factor in how often he was drunk?
He could have probably come up with it in like a year.
Probably quicker because he did drink a lot.
Yeah,
I don't think they factored in that time. Yeah,
right. Exactly.
They probably didn't know about that side of Zephyr Cochrane.
So
they left that out of the history books.
So obviously the derelict ship looks like there was some kind of conflict that happened on the ship. And at the same time, the Enterprise is completely vulnerable. There's no weapons, no warp engines, and the power is limited at most. So they are in trouble, and they are sitting ducks. And Archer goes back to his ready room, and he just decides he's going to grab that cup that's hanging in midair.
But he doesn't scoop up the coffee.
Which he could have just drank. Could have like suck it
just
up
get
there.
A straw, suck it out of the air.
But, you know, the thing is, I wonder, is like, is it just because there's gravity not working in that area? I don't really understand, because if it's an anomaly and their ship is flying through time and space, like, wouldn't the anomaly just pass through the ship? Why is it localized just in his ready room, even though the ship is moving?
I don't know. I mean, and there's also the cargo bay, which they sealed off last episode, where that anomaly was still presumably ongoing, since they did not revisit that area of the ship.
Right.
We don't know if it's still ongoing. We didn't see the mess hall again, so we don't know if the plates are still on the ceiling either. So the anomaly doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm curious as before how long they drop these weird magnetic things or anti-grav things. I wonder how quick that drops off in this arc.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think as soon as they get a trillion D plating, it'll probably go away.
That basically fixed it. So they should have got some Trillium D while they were at that mining facility.
It's like, last episode. Give you another finger? I mean, more liquid platinum.
Platinum, right, exactly. So an alien ship comes out of nowhere to approach Enterprise.
Pew, pew, and pew,
they,
pew, pew, pew.
And they got their weapons all charged up, but Archer, everything's offline. So they don't have any way to defend themselves. He tries to call them, but they get no response. And then alien starts beaming onto the ship, and then they are taking stuff off the ship. They're beaming
antimatter, like, all the good cores that still have platinum lining.
Yeah, they're taking the antimatter injectors. They're in the cargo bay, and they're taking different supplies out.
They stole Porthos, because that was super important. We need something to get rid of all this cheese we don't like.
Oh, all this food. There's the dog food. So they're beaming everything over, and this is when they all start attacking, or I guess Reed and the Makos start attacking these aliens who have beamed over, trying to defend the ship. And they are in the armory, and instead of shooting into the armory, which, like, the warheads are alive.
Oops.
They end up with,
that's not smart.
They throw a stun grenade instead, but the aliens beam out just before it explodes.
Tucker goes gorilla on a guy and knocks him out.
Yeah, and one of the ensigns, unfortunately, was killed in the, I think, the torpedo bay. So
he was just an ensign.
Just an ensign, but he knew the aft torpedoes like nobody else did, so.
Oh, Reed's just saying that because he's gay. he knew my aft torpedo bay.
He knew the aft torpedo bay, and I used to be a sailor.
He did. His family's full of sailors. They're all full about the aft.
All seamen.
All seamen goes aft.
I've been out at sea way too long.
Give me some scurvy. Little scurvy never hurt anybody.
I've got no vitamin C in me.
Lemons never heard of her.
So when Archer goes, they repel the aliens, and the aliens, like, they fly away. But they get one of the one guy that Trip knocked out. He's still on the ship, so they have him as a hostage or prisoner, and they
tend to him from the brig.
And Archer just takes, sees what's going on, like what the aliens took, and obviously they stripped out all the stuff out of the cargo bays. But the worst thing is the antimatter injectors. They took all the extras of those, and as Trip says, we're going to be out of gas within a month if we don't get any of those back. So. We could be in trouble.
We're screwed, Captain.
Then we jump over to sickbay with Dr. Phlox, and he is treating people for the disruptor burns and everything else, injuries. But like I said, Crewman Fuller, Malcolm Reed's aft torpedo lover, is dead. So he is, he's been killed during this. And
Amazing Grace, sweet a sound.
They can't shoot him out the torpedo bay, so they're just going to have to wait. There's no power to it.
He's going
to
stink.
He's going to start stinking it up. I hope they got a refrigerator.
Yes.
Keep him in the mess hall fridge.
I bet T'Pol's room is very cold.
this meal is delicious, chef. This meal is delicious, chef. What is this? This is a crewman Fuller.
This is crewman Fuller. It's Riker cooking him up.
Cooking him up. This is great.
Because remember, all of Enterprise is Riker's holodeck program.
Day two of the Enterprise excursion in the expanse. We have taken to cannibalism.
Riker's living out his fantasy cannibalism fun times.
It's the second day already.
I told you he's a Brigham Young comeback.
Phlox says that the guy that they captured from the attacking aliens are Osarians, and they're not originally from the expanse. So that's interesting how they got stuck there, or for some reason why they're still there.
They just love pirating in the expanse.
T'Pol says that what the Vulcans know of the Osarians are very limited. Basically, they're merchant race, but they haven't been known to be pirates. So there's something that changed them to, you know, turn into a life of piracy.
I don't know. I feel like merchants and pirates go hand in hand.
No, they're different.
What?
They're different. You can't if you're a merchant, you're dealing on trust that your merchandise is actually worth something, and you're not going to rip people off. Pirates don't give a fuck. They just take things from you.
That's what I mean. Like, pirates, like merchants have the stuff, and pirates take the stuff from the merchants. That's why, well, I mean, they go hand in hand.
That's called the circle of life.
Yes. Which is very strange. There weren't any pirates before. That's why I was just scratching my head a little bit, because they go hand in hand. Can't have one without the other.
You can't have one without the other. So Archer goes to meet the Osarian pirate prisoner, and he wants information, and the Osarian is just not going to cooperate. And Archer says that he's going to
he's going to show him the Janeway treatment.
He's going to try to torture him, and the Osarian's basically like, you're too civilized to torture. And
how
so
do you know how civilized we are? We had a phaser fight. What is that even? How do you know? How do you know civilized I am?
And so what he does go to tell him is that the cloud, the thermal bearer clouds that they go through, you can go into them, but you can't leave. So I guess there was two Osarian ships. One tried to leave the cloud barrier, and they didn't make it. So they realized they were stuck there in the expanse. Secondly, to protect your ship from these weird anomalies, you need Trillium D to line your ship.
Damn it! We gotta go back to that mining place.
Go back to that asshole.
Son of a bitch.
But they could totally take that stuff by force, I bet.
I bet the sphere. I wonder if the sphere's got a bunch of Trillium D in it.
I was kind of wondering that too, but I guess it was made. They said it was made of something else. So,
yeah, but it's a giant empty shell with not empty. It's got a bunch of reactors in it, but maybe there's some Trillium D lying around. Maybe the pirates stashed some there.
They
never specified, so I'm not sure if that's going to come up in the next episode or not. It's been so long since I've watched Enterprise.
They do end up putting Trillium D, I believe, on the hull later on. Oh, yeah,
they got to soon, because otherwise it's going to be kind of annoying if they keep on dealing with the anomalies.
Later, T'Pol tells Archer that the alien ship that we found appears to be went looking for the Osarians, just like Archer plans to do, because Archer plans to go hunt down the Osarians and
get our stuff back.
Get all their stuff back, basically. But I guess they ran out of life support before they could get started. So, and then T'Pol's kind of saying, like, it's kind of warning, Archer, you shouldn't really do it. And Archer's like, yeah, whatever.
I do what I want.
Yeah, exactly. So hull plating gets back online, and phase cannons will be ready soon. And so the armory is almost ready to go with torpedoes as well. So
we're getting turned back on. Yeah.
And anyway, so we get the Osarian's ion trail. They're following that. It seems like it's comes to an abrupt halt, and Enterprise can't figure out why the hell it stops.
But then there's a starting one also, and then just as abrupt.
Yeah, there's a starting one that's just the same. And so there's the one ion trail that's following is like 9 hours old, and the other one is only like 2 hours old or something like that. But it's like there's a gap between them. So Archer decides to follow the older ion trail, and it takes him to a cloaking barrier that is cloaking a gigantic sphere. Now, Dr. Freud, what does a giant sphere represent?
Well, you know, the giant sphere represents the testicles, because there's more than one giant sphere in the expanse.
Oh. See,
so this is a multi-testicled alien.
You kind of went into Scottish there a second.
God
there,
damn it. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, Arnold Freud, you know, it's the testicles. And that's still wrong. God damn it.
It's too late. I can't do a consistent accent.
I can't do it.
I cannot do it, Captain.
You're just jumping into it, just Scottish constantly.
Scottish Freud.
Scottish Freud. You got to play the pipes. So when they get there, they can't scan the interior, so they move into a orbit, and they find a port, like an opening, a portal, and the Enterprise can't fit into it, but a shuttle pod can. So they take a shuttle pod there with a bunch of Makos.
Our stuff.
And they do end up finding it, but they also find a cargo manifest in there, and they can't read it, so they send it over to Hoshi so she can kind of work on it and get a translation so they can find everything.
I love how Mayweather was like, oh, not very good, sir. He should have said non-existent, sir.
Yeah, how's your Osirian? I don't know how to read Osirian, sir.
I've never seen an Osirian before, much less seen their language.
He might have, because he grew up on a cargo ship.
That's true. Yeah,
he might have. Yeah.
He probably possible. Merchanted with saying, them, maybe.
I really like Travis's Mayweather's background story. Like, he's like a cargo pilot with his family, and that's he joined Starfleet. That's a cool backstory for like a ensign.
Yeah,
you know, you don't really hear stuff like that.
We don't know Chekhov's backstory. Other than that, Russians invented everything.
I think he's a grifter. He just goes around making up stories and taking people's money.
That's great. And then he joined Starfleet because he didn't want to go to jail.
Yeah, he had to get out of some bad debts.
Yeah,
the sharks were coming out for him.
He didn't want to have to do the jail where all you do is plant plants all day.
Yeah, he didn't want to go to Australia.
The Australian jail. The jail down under.
Welcome to the jail down under.
We've got Botany Bay 6.0 over here if you want to escape.
Botany Bay. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Where are the earwigs?
So Hoshi's working on the Osirian cargo manifest, and Tucker goes into sick bay because he hurt himself on injector, and Flax goes, how's the Vulcan neural pressure goes? Because he's not sleeping still. And he says, I haven't really done it that much. We did it the one time, but I've been too busy. And he offers some leeches to put on Tucker instead. And he says, just don't roll over on them because he'll get angry. And he goes, maybe I'll just go to T'Pol instead.
But so, he doesn't this episode, much to everyone's disappointment.
So T'Pol is above leeches.
Just barely. And I think only because Dr. Phlox implied the leeches might try to bore through him to escape.
Not the boar worms.
The boar worms.
Remember that from Flash Gordon?
I never saw Flash Gordon.
You never saw Flash Gordon?
No, I watched the one with Aaron Gray. Buck Rogers. I watched Buck Rogers.
Well, that's different.
Yeah, I never saw Flash Gordon.
Oh my God! We need to watch Flash Gordon together.
Yeah, we should do it. We should do it with the recorder. We can like comment on it as we watch.
It is quintessential bad 80s sci-fi, but it's so bad it becomes like iconic. And
kind of like Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that's a great movie too because it's so funny. It's so off the wall. It's crazy. This is the same aspect, but Queen did the whole soundtrack to it.
Queen did the soundtrack. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really a fantastic movie in the aspect that it's like a big budget, but it's just so cheesy. Mm-hmm. And how else can I explain it? It's just one of those iconic movies from the 80s, especially for sci-fi.
Yeah, I know they were screening it for Nickel City Con like a year or two ago. I didn't get to go see it because they had the guy from – wasn't it the guy?
Yeah, that's the guy who played Flash Gordon. I'm trying to remember his name. He was at the screening, and apparently he's a great, really nice guy. Like super – I'm trying to look his name up because I forgot it right now. But he came to visit, and let's see, Sam Jones.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't talk to him, but yeah, I remember seeing him.
He was a big football player. I think he got injured at some point, and what happened was he decided he just – try to get into acting, and he tried out for Flash Gordon, and he didn't even think he was going to get the film. And it, like people like Arnold Schwarzenegger and a bunch of other people were there to take the lead or try to, like, even Kurt Russell, you know, from Big Trouble Little China or whatever. Mm-hmm. They picked him instead.
Oh wow.
And it was like his one and only thing, you know, big role. So they did the screening, and he sat there and talked, and he hung out with everybody afterward because he was like, "Hey guys, I'll hang out and talk about whatever you want to talk about." It's like I got nowhere else to go. So he's pretty cool from what I heard. So I didn't get to see him. Yeah. But yeah, anyways, possibly in the future we should talk about the 1984 whatever it was, Flash Gordon movie.
Sounds good.
It'd be fun.
Let's do it.
But back to Enterprise, the anomaly. So yeah, so now they are still into the sphere, and they are, like I said, going through the crew cargo manifest and all that stuff, and they are going to now try to ambush the Assyrian ship when it comes back. That's Archer's plan. T'Pol, it's funny because Archer's so hell bent on finding out about the Zindi and finding out, like now he's got to get back the cargo from his ship. And get through the expanse and all this. He's like one track mind, but T'Pol pauses for a moment. I thought it was actually, this is probably maybe the nicer part of this whole episode. And she says, "Do you want to know about the sphere?" Yeah. You know? And she's like, "It's like 1,000 years old. It's run by 7 enormous fusion reactors, but only 3 of them are still operational." And she thinks this is what all the anomalies are from. The gravimetric energy produces something to do with the spatial anomalies that they're having. So, if we recall in season 1 and season 2, Archer would be fascinated with something like this. But he just doesn't give a fuck anymore.
He blows it off. He's like, "Yeah, I don't care." He's all rage against the machine. I just think that honestly that they messed up with the Archer and Trip, because Archer's just kind of angry. He's angry for everyone else. When he's like, it seems like it should be more. His anger seems like it's a more personal anger. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess Earth is personal, but I mean. Trips is more personal, and Archer seems the one who's more angry about everything.
Yeah, he's like carrying everything, the attack on Earth, on his shoulders. So
yeah,
and this is when Hoshi calls him to the Situation Room, and she tells him that the Osirians had attacked a Zindi vessel, so they have some information about the Zindis. And then Archer goes to the Osirian prisoner who is on their ship still in their brig, and he wants to know about the Zindi, and obviously. The Assyrian doesn't want to even answer him, tell him anything he knows about him. So he decides to throw him into an airlock and decompress the airlock and basically torturing him.
He's doing the old Janeway method, except he doesn't have an interdimensional creature trying to leech his life.
Yeah, so Archer is now torturing people. He's gotten to that point now. And
only 3 episodes, we've got him there.
Yeah, they've gone to cannibalism. They're eating Ensign Fuller and torturing people in the airlock. So good job, Archer. And so
it never ends.
It doesn't end.
We've seen our heroes each fall so far in only 3 episodes.
3 episodes, and it's the first hint of war. They just go completely savage.
Picard would be facepalming so hard.
Be like, "This is not what we do for Starfleet."
Although I do love how, like, Reed is sitting there like, "Sir? Sir?
Sir?
Should we, like,
sir?
Not kill him, sir?" When Reed is part of Section 31, and it's, like, probably cold-blooded killer.
Reed was there, too, when they were, like, putting Ensign Fuller through the meat grinder.
Yeah.
I just sir? Sir? So we should... should we really be defiling his body like this? It's fine. We need more meat. They took all our food rations.
Arby's, we have the meats.
He turned them into Arby's. What are we having for lunch today, chef? Arby's.
So Arby's is making meat-based vegetables.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
All these people are making vegetable-based meats. Vegetable-based meats. Now Arby's isn't making meat-based vegetables. I don't know if that was the Onion article, if that was like real, but I mean, that would be amazing if it was real.
I worked at Arby's when I was like 16 years old, and that is barely meat, if it is meat. It's got to be like horse meat that's been all ground up and compacted. It's really
horse
gross.
Hooves.
It's literally a brick of meat. I'm not joking. It's a giant brick of meat. If you can think of like a size of a cinder block wrapped in plastic, and it is gross. So
that's amazing.
If you go to Arby's, just be prepared. Maybe they've gotten better. I mean, that was many, many years ago. Obviously, probably 30 some years ago. But
yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was a terrible job too. I hate it. My uniform always smelled like grease. I would wash it incessantly, try to get the smell out. And even when they gave it
in bleach, get the bleach smell in there.
I tried so many things. I just couldn't. It was like there was some stain guard or something on it that it just would not go away. I hated the smell of my uniform. I only worked there for like maybe 6 to 8 months, and then I quit. I hated that fucking job. My assistant manager was a miserable person, and I hated her so much.
I've had some miserable managers. I remember I had one at Target who had a lisp, and I couldn't stand her.
Say. David. All right. So anyways, let's get back to
rabbit holing into weird real life things in this episode. No, but the vegetable-based meat, the meat-based vegetable looked like giant carrots. It was very frightening.
But yeah, so Archer tortures the Osarian, gets the information he wants. Not only does he get the information from that they did come in contact with Zindi, but he also got like the computer access codes to get into their ship, to get into the ship's database. Unfortunately, they're going to have to get like a mile from the ship, so they have to be very close to the ship so they can actually hack into their computers.
This is where we need Han Solo to come in and fly the Millennium Falcon through the Kessel Run.
Unfortunately, they only have Travis Mayweather.
Oh, damn it.
Pretty good. But he's not that great because he loses it a couple times. So during that time, they hide while the Osarian ship comes back to the sphere. And when they do, they start attacking it. And they actually start whomping the Osarian ship pretty good. But the Osarian ship moves through the that cloaking field. And for some reason, their ship can go through there with no problem, hide in there, while the Enterprise has a difficult time. Maybe it has to do with the Trillium D that they don't have on their ship.
I guess, although it's weird that the distortion field is what's causing the issues. I also find it weird that the nebulas are just causing issues. I think it'll be great if one day when we are able to go through space and we fly through nebulas and nothing bad happens.
That's true. It'd be nice, for sure. So what Enterprise ends up doing is they're hiding in the cloaking barrier, and they've only got like maybe 30% of their the Zindi database off their ship. So what they end up doing is they start shooting at the sphere's doors and they blow up the sphere's door, and all of a sudden the Osarians like, oh shit, they made business, because this is all their loot, right? So they come in and start attacking, and Enterprise just takes the rest of their information and then just blows up their engines, and they get 90% of what they need.
And then he shoots them. Although I think it was kind of funny that it's like they're targeting our engines, and I'm like, how? You've got the entire front of your ship in front of your engine, and you're pursuing them. Are they going to shoot through all of your saucer section and hit the hull? I mean,
maybe they can, at a certain angle, they can hit it. I don't know.
Maybe it just seemed like a very strange. It didn't seem like they were at a, like if Enterprise was being chased, I could see how that would be an issue. But Enterprise was doing the chasing. They didn't really have any good line of sight to hit their engines. Just a strange observation.
So the ship, the Osarian ship engines, they take out their engines. They crash onto the surface of the hull of the sphere. And then Archer releases the Osarian prisoner, and the Osarian's like, "What are you gonna take me back to your torture chamber?" He's like, "No,
no, we're gonna strand you on the sphere.
I'm gonna release you, you jackass." And he goes, "You're far too civilized to be in the expanse."
And then Archer like slits his throat and drinks his blood out of his spewing throat.
How do you like that for civilized? How do
you like that for civilized? He just walks on the bridge like coated in this guy's blood. He's like, "We will find the way."
He's gone completely mad.
walks into the war room.
And then he goes into the command center and he says, "Load the Zindi database."
Lights shine on his face.
It shines in his face. None of it makes any sense because it's all in a different language. So anyways.
Going to pour over it. Then he's going to have a Hoshi come translated.
Yes.
Looks important. Captain, that's how to cook human.
Damn it. Where was that recipe 5 minutes ago?
Damn it. I need my salad shooter.
Salad shooter. So anyway, so they go to, so that ends up the anomaly. So Dave, what did you think about this episode?
Wow. Like, so the Zindi arc has gotten a lot worse real quick. So I really hope it gets better soon. The first episode was okay, but you did point out.
It won't, because do you know what next episode is?
No, I didn't know. I'm trying to be surprised.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, tell me.
It's extinction. So this is where when they go down to a planet and they all turn into another race.
Oh no, they turn into salamanders. Oh no,
something similar to
it. It's so this is Enterprise's threshold.
It hands down has got to be one of the more annoying Enterprise episodes I've ever come across.
Oh my gosh. Wow, they're starting off this, like, granted, it's been years since I've watched the Zindi arc, and I remember it not being awful, and I might be changing my mind. The first episode wasn't super strong, we had the sexy T'Pol time in the last episode, which made up for the lack of story and action. Mm-hmm. This episode was just kind of like a lot more plotting, I thought. It was just like, we're going to not...
It's moving the plot along, but it's also showing that they are completely out of their... They are going into places that they didn't expect to go. The expanse is there to challenge them.
Yes, it's a challenge, and it's... I don't know, it's kind of... I mean, it's nice that the episodes are starting to build. It's like, oh, look, we introduced Trillium D. We've never heard of Trillium D. I don't think ever before in Star Trek. I could be wrong.
I don't think it's ever shown up before.
It doesn't sound familiar outside of Enterprise. I'm assuming it was invented for Enterprise, for the Expanse. For the Expanse arc. So, I mean, it's nice that it's like they introduced Trillium D last time. They went to a Trillium D plant. Now it's like, oh, this is why we need Trillium D. So right. they're building the lore, which is kind of nice. It's just, I don't know, this wasn't a super impactful episode. It just felt kind of slow. I watched it twice, and I'm like, these are 45-minute episodes, and it feels like there's not a lot going on. I hope they get better, but it sounds like next episode's also like not great. I guess they have to front load the bad episodes and then get to build the plot toward the end. Kind of like Breaking Bad. Did you watch Breaking Bad?
Yeah, of course.
I feel like the first half of most of the season, after season two, the first half of season 3 and 4 and 5 are really slow, and then the second half, all the good stuff happens. So I wonder if that's the case for this season of Enterprise.
I'm not going to say much.
it's so weird watching this after so long. It's like I've never seen it before.
So my view about the anomaly is
how do you feel about that in the blind?
It's the worst accent I've ever heard.
I'm not Henry Zabrowski, you know. I do what I can.
It's not a tumor. So I'm kind of reminded of the Heart of Darkness by Joseph Conrad. That's a short novel. They based the movie Apocalypse Now about it, but it's basically means that when you go into the idea is when you leave civilization, and you're not required to be civilized anymore, what will you turn out to be like? So in Heart of Darkness, they're going in this old steamboat looking for some guy. I think his name was Kurtz, I believe his name. Or maybe it's Kurtzman, I can't remember. But they're going up this river to find this Kurtz who works for the company. And they're going up into an African, no man's land where it's just a bunch of native Africans living there. And it gets more and more insane as they get further up the river. It's a short book. You can read it probably in like a day or two. It's not very long, but it's like one of those symbolic books. It's sort of like Lord of the Flies, same idea. It's like, gotcha. What happens when you don't have to answer to society?
The Blue Lagoon.
A lot of sex.
We have to go the Sigmund Freud route.
That's what it reminds me of. And like, they didn't actually cook Ensign Fuller, but Archer might as well have.
He might as well have. And he didn't kill the guy and drink his blood, like we said, but he could have. And that would have been fun.
He could have. And I'm curious. I mean, I understand like he wanted that information and he needed to get to that information from the Zindi. So I guess that it was important for him. But, at what means necessary kind of thing.
He's totally becoming a lot less likable.
And it's like, there's always that the interesting philosophy of like, there's a ticking, atomic bomb that's going to go off somewhere in like, a populated city. And, you have the terrorist that, knows something about it, knows where it's hidden or whatever. Would you torture them to get the information? And like, I would probably say 99% people said, yes, of course I would, to get that information.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one.
Yes.
Vulcans would totally do it.
But what happens when it's like, would you just torture somebody because there's a plan to blow up an atomic bomb in a populated city? Like, that was like one of the big issues that like the Bush administration had, that they were like worried that, are they going to their waterboarding people? And they had these dark sites where they were keeping, terrorists they captured in Afghanistan and Iraq, and technically it wasn't U.S. forces that were torturing these people, but it was like
under the U.S. jurisdiction.
They were like mercenaries working for them. So yeah. There are these dark sites that wasn't really them, but they were doing. So it's like, and a lot of people find that torture doesn't reveal that much information.
They just tell you what you think you want to hear.
Yeah, they'll tell you anything you want to hear, and just to stop the pain and stop the agony. So, we see that with the Picard episode, Four Lights, with a Chain of Command.
Oh, but the thing is, like the torture of Picard didn't even make any sense. He wasn't trying to get information. Picard pretty much gave up everything he wanted to know when he had the truth serum. He was just torturing him for funsies.
Yeah, I think they were trying to break him too, trying to get him into like some so that he would tell them all the information that they possibly could and reveal more information. But who knows? Because there's stuff they can ask, but then there's stuff they wouldn't even think to ask.
Maybe.
But so that's what I think of the anomaly. Obviously, Archer has taken a huge turn. The Zindi arc obviously is meant to kind of like evoke. Evoke the idea that they're under pressure to get some results, to find out who sent the weapon to Earth and how to stop another one from happening or anything else.
And yet they stretch out this urgency over 20-something episodes.
Oh, believe me, it keeps going. Oh, you have no idea.
Man, I don't know. It's so weird. I don't remember hating this in the arc. It's just weird. It's kind of interesting to revisit it because I kind of feel like Holly a little bit, because sometimes Holly's like, I don't remember ever watching this episode. And like, I do remember this episode vaguely. I mean, I think I'm going to remember them all vaguely, but.
Right.
But like, just being in the present with them, rewatching it now is just like, wow, this is like not great.
Yeah. It's just kind of boring. Honestly, it's okay. It's not awesome. So, anyways,
it's not objectively bad. It's just meh at this point, I guess.
Right. Exactly. So
the first episode was I thought the first episode was significantly better than this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. It's the opening season. This is one of the reasons I thought that maybe they wanted to cancel Enterprise, because it was
real slow off the gate, season three.
Yeah, just was not great. So.
It probably was the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, they were given a season four just to get the numbers of episodes so the show could become syndicated. They were basically given a blank check, just give us more episodes so we can syndicate this pile of garbage, and then we're going to go. And then And then they made the best season of Star Trek ever with season four. And then it's just like, what? It's so funny. It's like when the studio, we see it time and time again, the less the studio's involved, the better the product is. We saw it with Deep Space Nine. Deep Space Nine, the first couple seasons struggled when the studio was heavily involved. When the studio switched its sights over to Voyager, Voyager struggled, and Deep Space Nine blossomed into something amazing.
Right, right, right.
And then we see it with Enterprise. Season three probably had a lot of studio intervention, presumably. And then when they didn't care anymore, once the show was canceled, they just gave them a blank check, just give us episodes enough to go syndication. Then the show got good because they didn't care. And so it's mind-boggling. It's like, why doesn't the studio notice these trends? The more they interfere, the worse things get. And then when they let the creative people who know what the property is work on it, then it gets good. And I feel like that's maybe part of the problem with Discovery, that the studios intervening and maybe just the creative people don't know enough about Star Trek. That might be part of the problem too.
Well, yeah, and they have different goals possibly than the creative people. They want to see the show get real popular so they can make lots of money, and they have ideas, but doesn't mean their ideas are good. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, I mean, the creative people too sometimes can get kind of navel gazy, and they can isn't this awesome? But it's not going to get new viewers onto it, kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a balance for sure. But in Star Trek, as far as I can tell, the less the studios involved, the better the product is.
Right. So other than that. Archer going off the rails. I mean, the sphere thing is an interesting development. We'll see more spheres.
Reminds me of the Dyson sphere, even to the way it opens up. It's got those the square planks and those really long rails it opens up on. Like, it's just very, very reminiscent of the TNG Dyson sphere episode with Scotty and poor Dylan. Or what was it, Dylan?
He didn't make it.
He absorbed him into himself. He ate him.
He's like,
Scotty's a cannibal.
I ate him. He was good. Yeah, I mean, that was interesting. And, I don't know. It's kind of cool to see them trying to make their way through this expanse, and something they're going to struggle with constantly. Like I said, until I'm pretty sure in four or five episodes, they actually played the Enterprise with Trillium D. So.
Oh, wow, we've got a bunch of episodes left before that happens.
Oh, my God. This goes on forever. It's like 20-some episodes, and there's lots of fluff in there, too. So.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's not talk about Enterprise next week. Maybe we should. Maybe we do need those year breathers.
Yeah, I don't know. Exactly. I got to say, Extinction is probably my least favorite Enterprise episode ever.
It's like up there. So it's like right up there with Threshold, huh?
Threshold's the worst Voyager. What's the worst Next Gen? I mean, there's a couple of them. They're pretty bad.
Move Along Home is probably one of the worst Deep Space Nine. Yeah. Although the one, if Wishes Were Horses, the one where O'Brien sees Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
That one's kind of a guilty pleasure because it's so ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It's kind of fun to watch.
It's so ridiculous. It's kind of fun, but it's awful episode. It's like, it's what you're talking about earlier. It's so bad.
It's not something you recommend somebody to watch.
No. That's a guilty pleasure episode if Wishes Were Horses.
Wait, Code of Honor is a terrible episode for Next Gen.
Yeah, that's awful.
What's the one where the flashback episode with Riker?
You
always reference.
God, I can't remember. Last episode of season two.
Yeah, my most hated original series is The Empath. I just hate that episode so damn much. I mean, there's other ones that are just as bad, but that one it's just so boring and so stupid. So, anyways, every series has got a pretty bad stinker.
Oh yeah. So let's do something different next week. Maybe we'll do the apple. I don't know.
The apple. Yeah. Go back to that one.
The apple. Who knows? Not Enterprise next week. We'll give you guys a break. We'll give ourselves a break too.
No more.
Oh man.
Anything else we want to talk about for the anomaly?
No, I mean, there's just not a lot to these episodes. Like, these last two episodes both felt like they had a lot of filler in them. There were not a whole lot happens. It's kind of slow burn. Very reminiscent of, like I said, Breaking Bad. The first couple episodes, the first half of the season of the last couple seasons were kind of slow to me, so.
Right.
And then they slow burn and stuff explodes. So maybe that's how it'll go.
Right, exactly.
I don't remember, apparently.
It's not what you thought, for
it's
sure.
Not what I thought. It's totally different than I remember.
God, well,
it must have been like 4 or 5 years since I've watched this all the way through, if not longer.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the season three. I was like, oh, yeah, season, you know, I watched season one. It's like, oh, it's pretty good. And, you know, because I rewatched it since whenever it came out originally back in the 2000s. Season two was like, oh, yeah, I like season two. And then season three, I was like, oh, my God, this is just dragging. And then season four is obviously just, you know, awesome.
So good. So. Lots of TOS callbacks, which is great.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Space Nazis in the first episode.
Space Nazis!
Those are always so good. Nazi episodes. Even Voyager Space Nazi episode was really good.
That's always good, too.
Nazis in space!
To the camps!
To the camps!
All right, well, we want to thank everyone for downloading the episode and listening to us, or if you're listening to our YouTube channel, we thank you, whoever you are, all, like, six listeners.
Yeah, we get like regular like 5 or 6 people that listen on YouTube. It's pretty awesome. So shout out to you guys.
Shout out to those people. If you are interested, please go to our Facebook page. You go to our Facebook /groups/ Synthaholics and join the group there and just say hi. A lot of members that are just, we talk about all sorts of stuff, if Star Trek related, science related, or just goofy memes.
Science fiction related. Star Wars stuff gets ton of traction as far as comments and stuff going.
Absolutely.
For a Star Trek group, our Star Wars posts blow up. Versus our Star Trek posts.
So well, Star Wars is very controversial these days. Maybe even more so than new Star Trek.
Might be, and you know, of course, you know, Rise of Skywalker is on the horizon very shortly. So the hype train on that is building as well, and we do intend to cover that as we've covered Episode 8, Episode 7. And
well, past. fingers crossed that it's not terrible.
It comes out on my birthday. I want J.J. Abrams to give me a good Christmas present. Everyone, email J.J. Abrams and tell him David Duncan wants a good Star Wars movie for his birthday from Synthaholics.
I think it's either already happened or it's too late.
Oh, it's way too late. There's no coming back from this. I mean,
changing it.
I mean, even if they wrote him like the day after The Last Jedi came out, there's no fixing it because we would have had to ask Rian Johnson to be nice.
To commit suicide?
Seppuku!
Yeah.
Fall on your sword.
So, yeah, you can join the Facebook group and talk about that, among other things. You could also go to our website if you want to just find the show itself. You can go to Synthaholics.com. You can email us if you want to say something a little more further or something. And if you give us permission, we'll read your email on the show.
Hell, you can send us a sound clip, too, and we can play that in the show.
Absolutely. We could do that as well if you want to send a sound clip. So you can send that to Synthaholics@yahoo.com. You can tweet at us at a Synthaholic Duo on Twitter. And if you feel like the show is something you want to support and you enjoy our content, you can obviously go to Patreon, patreon.com/Synthaholics, and consider supporting the show that way. As always, like I say, you know, a great way to support us is either sharing the show on social media or telling your friends, letting other people know about the podcast, and just say, hey, give them a listen to see if there's something they want, especially if they're into Star Trek, obviously. But obviously, we talk about other things as well.
Yeah, share it, retweet it, Instagram about it, whichever way you do your social media.
Mm-hmm.
Put us out there. Let other people see us. If you do Reddit about us too. Like whatever your thing is, you don't have to go to iTunes. Whichever your preferred way of talking on social media. We had that one fan we spoke about last week at on the show who's shouting our name and Star Trek timelines, which is fantastic.
Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you know, watch out for spatial anomalies. It's, when you're traveling at warp speed, apparently the anomalies stay on your ship.
Stay on your ship. They just stuck to you like a fly on flypaper.
Yeah, they kind of like stick there like a thistle as you're going through a, or, you know, like a field.
A bird,
you know,
get those, yeah. Like, yeah, stuck on those, your socks.
Yeah, it gets stuck on your socks. Like, God damn it, you got to pull these things off. So it's apparently like that. So watch out for spatial anomalies. Don't resort to cannibalism.
Watch out for Sigmund Freud. He will find you.
Yes, and...
he'll make... Watch out. Don't introduce him to your mother.
Also, watch out for bad accents.
Yes.
And,
I can't,
you know,
stick with the accent.
Don't torture people, you know?
I'm sorry.
Be cool with people, Archer.
I try. I'm sorry, guys.
Do you think Scott Bakula quantum leaped out of himself, and that's why he got angry?
Turned into, like, Hitler quantum leaped
quantum
inside.
Quantum leaped
of him.
Inside of him, yes. Nine!
Where are the space Nazis?
Where are the Jews? I just remember you talking about Count Blackula a couple times ago, yeah. That the Ultimate Computer yeah. episode. I'm like, awesome, you mean Scott computer. Blackula?
Scott Blackula.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
Shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Woo! We did two Enterprise episodes in a row and we didn't die.
We didn't die, no.
We didn't die. Archer didn't eat us.
You know, it is what it is. Yeah, Extinction's a bad episode.
Oh, yeah, so we should not do Extinction next week.
Super angry.
You have a reason to be angry.
I'm so caffeinated.
Yeah, he's still angry.
Caffeine on my body.
All right, let's get started. I'm going to do the intro, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just let me know we're good.
All right, new file started. We're good.
Oh, I see.